Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Oh, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Let's be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a day in God. What a day in God. I believe that we're so privileged to witness what the Lord is doing here. Because, especially what just happened in the session that just ended. It is the beginning of any kind of revival. The Lord must restore us in repentance, you know, and turn us back to Him in any way that we have left our first love. And it is not something you do twice a year. Consecration, returning to your Father in your heart and staying in a place where you're walking in the righteousness of Christ, should be a very active part of your spiritual experience. You must not be elevated in your own eyes. You must not be esteemed in your own eyes. You must see that you are truly undone and that it is only what the cross produces in you that is an acceptable offering unto God. It's only what the cross produces in us that is attractive to God. It's a great time to celebrate my other sisters who joined us. Sister Abigail Dipo Kilanshe. Please celebrate her. She's been such a blessing. Do it better. Please do it better. She's been such a blessing. I also have my sister and very beloved friend. We shared such a great time of koinonia that I even include Moimo and Asun last night. Imisi, don't I am coming. I told you already. I will be here with you. You'll be begging me to go to my house. Please celebrate Esther Longe. Glory be to God. I'm good to get the full names of one of my sisters so I can also honor her. Blessed be God. So what the Lord said about the season that we're in the body of Christ is in Ezekiel 37. And I'm sure that's a scripture you're very familiar with. You know, the Lord says that Ezekiel 37 is a prophetic prototype. So the Lord spoke to us of Ezekiel 37 as a prophetic prototype of where the body of Christ in Nigeria is today. He said, when he looks at the land, he mostly sees a valley of dry bones. He says he sees religion more than he sees revival. People who stand at the door and invite people, others, into a life they've never tasted. People who represent a Jesus they do not know. People who talk of a Father whose love has not been revealed to them. People who tick off spirituality like a to-do list. People who would rather read from the 36 pages or 365 pages of a devotional than read from the heart of Jesus on a daily basis. People who have a preferred agenda as to how the good in their life will emerge. Who believe that their opinion of their future is a better deal than what Jesus is painting. People who lift hands and say they are giving their all to Jesus, but who exclude their bank accounts from this consecration journey. So he says when he looks at us, he may see seas of heads across churches in the land. But in those churches, he barely finds beating hearts, pumping souls that are full of eternal life and ready to go all the way. So why is it a valley of dry bones? Because those in the city forget those in the interlands. So we have missionaries who don't even have maternal health care, and whose wives will give birth at home and lose those children. Whereas, we will save and gather our entire family income just to give birth in Houston, Texas. And we think that this is really the way the kingdom should run. And I'm not talking about missionaries who didn't go to school. I'm talking about those who gave up MBAs to see that the gospel is preached and the light of the gospel shines in the dark regions. Our money isn't going where we say our mouth is going. So the church is filled on Sunday, but the stadiums are empty of believers who can teach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And who we are on Sunday and on weekly services is a significant departure from who we are in our private lives every day. were a people who fall so quickly under the anointing and break several chairs, but whose highest revival encounters happen at crusades, not during private vigils in their sitting rooms. People whose hands are quick to be lifted in worship as the music plays, but who do not understand that consecration is a higher type of worship, where you say yes even though it is not convenient, where you take the next step though you do not know where it leads, and where you can sacrifice the Isaac that you stood in faith for decades on ending. So it says, when I look at this land, I see a valley of dry bones. I see shepherds who have forgotten how to shepherd. I see leaders who have forgotten how to steward. I see people who have gotten fattened by revelation because they have an interest to acquire a mental accent to the knowledge of God without putting it into practice in their lives. I see people who teach and write about prayer, says the Lord, but who do not have a prayer culture. How do you write a book on prayer and you don't even pray? And we're often not aware that this is the very enemy of our souls, capturing us at the highest level or seeking to do so. You know, but the joyful great news is that the Lord says, I will come to my church and I will revive it. I will awaken it like a man from deep sleep. And I will do a new work, a work of healing, a work of health, a work of life. So the church is not any denomination you worship in. It is you. He's speaking about each of us. And he's calling us back to himself. He's calling us to passion. He's calling us to pursuit. He's calling us to desperate desires. He's calling us to hunger pangs and birth pangs. He's calling us to an awakening. He's calling us to a revival. He's calling us to love. Maybe many times when we think about revival, we often think about several hours of praying in tongues, isn't it? And studying the scriptures for many hours. Those things will be born on the day of revival. But the key thing about revival is an awakening of the Father's love in your heart. Where his love is the highest influence on your thoughts, on your speech, on your decision, on your motivation. And that love captures you so much that you consider every other thing loss for that gain of Christ. Amen. And that love makes you willing to experience the suffering of the cross as much as you long for the weight of glory. Amen. The love makes you focus on what the Father focuses on. Your eyes are also on souls, on the final harvest. You carry and share his burdens with him. And that's why in the day of the revival, intercession is something that breaks out naturally. Because you are pressed with the burdens of God. Have you ever been in the place of prayer and as you were led to pray for a certain people, a certain class of people, you started to feel the burden that they feel? You're praying for healing for a person, and the Lord allows you to experience for a season the real pain that they are going through in their body, and you can't even help yourself. You're literally saying, I will pray, but can you just take this burden away? Have you wailed in tears for hours till you had a release in your spirit that it was done? Do you tire out easily, or are you fond of waiting for God? Are you waiting for God? Are you on this exciting chase to become more like Christ today? Ah, it's a great day. Chema, you're really welcome. Please celebrate our minstrel, Star Chema Dimba. Do it well to the glory of God. So he's calling us home. He's calling us to himself. And the emotion that must come out of this clarion call of our captain is not guilt. The enemy wants to make you feel guilty, but don't feel guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There's no guilt here. There's no condemnation here. It is only godly sorrow leading to repentance. A place where you say, I agree to the refiner's fire. And you know, one of the things the Lord also said to us is how he's going to use pain and how he's using pain to purify you for his purpose. So many times we are running away from the pain, we're running away from the hardship. But the Lord is saying, that's actually my tool. It's my refiner's tool. You know, and that's why scripture was saying in Hebrews that it is only a bastard that is not chastised by his master, that is not chastised by his father. And you know, the chastisement is not the type you understand in dictionary English. It is not your father beating you for doing something wrong. It is your father beating you into shape so that you can do something right. Amen. You are not being punished for an offense. You are being preserved from an offense. Amen. So the chastisement of God is to make you ready for what has been reserved for you on earth. Your mandate, your assignment, your ordination. Amen. Before we go into the next set of prayers and then have a short, exciting break that I'm looking forward to, I want to share with you five things that I believe should be a significant guide for how you begin to navigate the days ahead. When we come to the place of prayer again, I will request that we all go around and pray with the prophecies that the Lord gave to us in moments of intercession about this meeting, but more importantly, about the revival that is breaking out in the body of Christ. The first thing that I want you to keep in mind in this final hour, as we see the move of God so strong upon the land, is that spirituality is not reserved for a certain few. In fact, we're going to witness in this final hour of the revival that the nameless, the classless, the faceless, but who remain relentless in the pursuit of Christ are going to be forerunners. Forerunners of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that organized religion and church as we know it would not even allow into their services will stand in the streets and they will speak of the wisdom of the ancients. They will baptize men into flows and dimensions in God. And they will prophesy of the days that we will see right before the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this revival, this encounter, this return to the Lord in a way that will capture all of your life, it's not for pastors. It's not for HODs. It's for them too. But it's not for them only. In fact, if you're an active leader in your church, you actually need to unlearn some things so that you can be in a position to receive what God is sending. I'm telling you, ministry as it currently is, especially in the body of Christ, can be the biggest hindrance to entering into revival. So, it's not for the known names. It's got nothing to do about the accolades you've amassed, the CDs you've launched, the books you've written, seminars you've hosted, things you've done. It's about what is going on right here. What is beating in your heart. That passionate desire because you know that the highest accomplishment in your life is to become Christ. Amen. And a larger part of becoming Christ happens behind closed doors. Where you are living for the audience of one. Amen. So spirituality is not reserved for a certain few. Spirituality is not for the most mature. Let me tamper with your ideology a bit. Some of the most profound carriers of the revival fire and the burning anointing that the Lord is releasing at the close of age, the time we are now in, will come upon the seemingly immature amongst us. You see, because knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can be a hindrance to experiencing revelation. Knowledge is what makes you preach a better message in your mind than the preacher standing. Why are just like, if I grab Matthew 26, Timokoko move from this dimension. That's prelude. Then I get into the body. And when I just take it to close it, when I just come from this angle, Some of you feel like you're sitting on a gold mine of revelation knowledge and you're waiting for the platform to dish out to the world. And God is saying, I don't have a platform for you until I have done a work in you. If I don't see it in your life, I don't need one more clown lying to people to come into encounters they've never tasted. Because we've used God to get better, to look better, to launder our image, to grow our reputation, to look like the best. Don't you know that is a strategy of Satan to make you feel like ministry is also a social consideration? That while you are doing well in banking and you are in oil and gas, I'm in ministry and it's showmanship. It's not showmanship. It's not showmanship. And we don't choose where we are called to. If I'm called to the interlands, I'll be there doing the work of God. And there's a part of ministry you will never see. What qualifies a true minister to stand before God's people is that they've been standing before their father in private. Doing his bidding. Laying it all down. Doing the uncomfortable. Shedding the weight of the carnal man. Persisting in the things of the spirit. And saying, God, I don't want myself to be seen. I want you to be seen. And when I am seen, break me in the hip so that I know I'm undone and carnal man must be wrecked. I'm not here to have a following. I'm not here to impress. I'm not here to be liked. I'm not here for comparisons. I'm not here for copy and paste. I'm not going to look at Esther and say, that's the strategy. When we put our poster side beside them. No! I didn't come to do that. I came here for the will of God. When he says to me to put a poster out, I put it out. When he says I'll bring the people, don't put a poster, I say yes, sir. When he says uninstalling Instagram, we uninstall it. We didn't come to do our own bidding. We didn't come to do our own bidding. We want to feast when we have not fasted. There's no consecration anywhere. There's no cutting into shape. You see, if there's no cutting into shape, for sure, you are not working according to specification. Because for every calling, there's a templated specification. So when you try to fit into the template, your hand will be hanging out. Because the cross has not finished the work in that area. Then it chips you into frame and you cooperate. You know what it means? Template, a mold. There's a mold for the calling. But we don't want to sit into the mold. Then we lie to ourselves that if our mentors can do it, we can do it. I don't have no mentor. Christ is my mentor. I'm not here to have a role model. Because I don't know the secret place of their lives. Stay where my father put me. And don't admire me because you don't know my consecration. You don't know if I'm in obedience or otherwise. Don't like me. Don't follow me. I don't want to mentor you. Leave me to my Jesus. Face your Jesus. Spirituality is not an exclusive preserve of a people. It's for everyone who comes. He says, come. He says, come. He says, come. I don't care when you got born again. I don't even care the church you worship. You know, the Lord showed me a vision that I cannot speak of in full because the day is emerging and is reserved for the discerning. But here's what I would say. A caliber of people, an establishment of organized religion that is looked at like an outcast when it comes to the charismatic flow of the Spirit. The Lord says they will be at the forefront of the final hour. Do not feel like you have a corner on God. Don't do it. So in readiness for the revival, what we find ourselves saying is, what is in me, Lord, that you cannot use? What is in me that is of no kingdom value? What is it? What am I holding on to that is not letting you have room for the next level of your flow in my life? How am I perceiving my destiny that is different from the real blueprint in your heart for me? Because when we started out, spiritual fathers were trying to do us good. They put their hands on us and they called us a name. But they saw in part, even though they are prophets. I can't take the part and consider it the whole. So there comes a time when the part must be dropped for the whole. And I say, God, I'm ready for what is next. I'm ready for what is next. I've been christened by this name all of my life. But I know when I come into that encounter, where I wrestle with my king and he wrestles with me. The moment you break me out of John, you give me a new name. I want the new name the Lord has for me. A new name. Called by a new name. I want your blueprint. I want your vision. I don't want self-fabricated ambition. I don't want to be named by the mouth of men. I want to be named by the mouth of the Lord. I want what you have for me. I want what you have for me. Father, I want what you have for me. I want what you have for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Second thing you keep in mind. So what does that say to you with the first thing? You're on this very personal, childlike journey with God where you are bare. You are open. You are desperate. You're making constant prayers before the Father. And you are dropping whatever you've known before. Because in this final hour move, eyes have not even seen. Ears have not even heard. And it has not entered into the hearts of men what the Father has reserved for those who love him. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Help us to see you. The second thing you keep in heart in this hour that we have come into. You must walk up your hunger for God. Let me tell you how the devil cheats a believer. He makes you look at a person and say in your heart, they've got so much fire for you, Lord. I covet that grace. Stop coveting graces. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously before God in this present age. Christ is the distributor and the dispenser of grace. The Holy Ghost is the administrator of the grace of Christ. There's nothing that you require for life and for godliness that has not been given to you. To you. To you. Amen. So there's nothing that you need to sow a seed for. You may not come to another meeting. You don't have to sow a seed for anything. Anything. The seed is. Say it better. The seed is. Any type of harvest you're looking for in your life. Sow the seed of the word. But it's hard now. Sowing the seed of the word means waiting before the Father. Staying there till I get a specific prophecy that uncovers that harvest. Then I take that prophecy. I begin to check that rhema against the logos. So I find the logos that speaks to the rhema. And then I start to craft my faith confession specific to the prophetic blueprint God handed me. I take that confession. I start to put it in my mouth. I record it with my voice. Record. I play it on my way on Third Mainland Bridge. I pray in the Holy Ghost constantly. I dance about it. I envisage it. I glorify God for it. Till I see the day break. But that's long now. Seems to be better. So take 30,000. Just quickly give the man of God for 30 blazing. 30,000 for 30 blazing. $100 for 100 blazing. You don't just sow $100 to live 100 years on earth. Why are you begging for bread, for crumbs, when your father owns a bakery? How did we become like this? How did we become like this? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been handed you in Christ Jesus. Stop coveting the passion, the prayer anointing, the giftings, the working out of eternal life, the production of the cross. You look at what the cross produced and like it. Get the cross, it will fix you. Amen. Let me run ahead of that into the third and maybe come back to it again. Do you know the purpose of God? One of the greatest undoing of social media is that it has glamorized the purpose of God. It makes it look good. The purpose of God is the most difficult adventure you would ever get on in your entire life. It will stop you before it sends you. It will take you away your options and your options. Your options and your options. It will close the door to alternatives. You will be slower than your contemporaries. You will be made to look like a fool. Sometimes the word you hear will come to pass in time as God has it. But time as God has it is not time as men has it. So you will say you heard, but it will look like you are a foolish person. Literally, it will be as though God is making a mess of your reputation. That's the purpose of God. Purpose of God strips you of your security and stability. Takes away your advantage. What you call a professional advantage. Sholoni PhD, put it here. That's the purpose of God. It's difficult. It's tiring. It's weakening. It weakens out the flesh so that the production of the strength of God can be seen in you. The purpose of God is what made Jesus sweat like blood drops. The purpose of God is what made the most consecrated man who ever walked the face of the earth to say, if it be your will, let this cup pass over me. When you see the purpose of God, you will not run to it, you run away from it.
Yes.
But my generation has been taught a different type of purpose. It's the making up. It's the people carrying the Bibles. It's the stepping out of the Jeep. On a glory train, a Korean de Lebosa, walking like this, and like this. And you see, we're not here to criticize anything. We're here to return to truth. Both the one who speaks and the one who hears must do the will of God. I'm only anointed in this moment to say it. That's the only anointing higher than you who is seated. When it comes to the doing, we have the exact level of anointing to work it out. So I will stand before my Father and bear account of that which I say in the flesh. And I trust that the help of the Holy Spirit is sufficient to keep me in the will of God in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The purpose of God is not glamorous. So good. It's not exciting. And hello, those of us that have blueprints, that you have 5-year plan. It's a 10-year plan. God showed you the ministry. He called the name for you. You have done website and logo. You have printed business cards. You know what the Lord is saying. In fact, you have calendar to 2039 of the assignment. You that you are called today, and the Lord can say, shut it down.
Yes.
Shut it down. You're like, Sammy, stop talking English, sir, because I quit banking for this. Shut it down.
Yes.
Have you ever been told that this year you will not do anything but what I tell you when I tell you? How do you explain that to your mother?
Yes.
They sent you to university.
Yes.
How do you say it?
Yes.
You are now done with this master's. In fact, you got this UK government scholarship. You know, you were exalted in the eyes of men. You're so brilliant. So they're just like, kowa dele, kowa bere. You know, expectation is rife. That just come home. Even your husband is having expectation on your destiny. It's creating family income based on what you might bring. Then you say, the Lord told me that this year, I will not do anything but what he tells me to do. Then he says, what is he telling you to do? Right now, I've not heard. And this is like March. You are like, hello, mommy, are you quite okay? If you've not yet been told, that's not the way of God. You have not entered what he wants you to enter. Established religion. Fathers of faith must say to you, no, it's not that serious. I've been working with God 39 years. Orukosia labraro shatandelebosa. Let me tell you why you must revisit your perspective about the purpose of God. It will help you pray till the cross is worked out in your life. The way you think about the purpose of God, based on what you see, based on logistics, based on what you see on Facebook and Instagram, is different. Oh Lord, I thank you. I declare my woman a destiny. Your purpose is done in my life. The glory of God is revealed. We're taking this land for Jesus. You are checking your nails. You are chewing gum. But if you see purpose from scriptures, you will take a retreat to cry out carnality from the midst of you. Because if you go to warfare with one missing armory, you can be mincemeat. Mincemeat. Have you ever seen the bitterness of ministry? Have you ever been betrayed by your comrade? Ha! If agape is not done inside your spirit, man, you can go down with that affliction. You don't know ministry gifts who still preach, but whose hearts are full of curses for those they were sent to help. We had better pray ourselves into the covering of God. Yeah. Pastor Ikane is there now. If agape is not at work in you, you hear that seven people with whom you prayed and fasted 7 years gathered in a room without you and basically listed an agenda of everything that is wrong with you. And even concluded that God did not call you. It went to voicemail, so you called God. And let me tell you what. In the battle between good and evil, God is not obliged to do anything in your life so he can prove them wrong. Yes. With God, there's nothing like one Mary, they may not read. Your entire life, there may not be a proof that that thing they said you did wrong, you didn't do it. So if we discern the purpose of God, we will pray differently. And when we know the purpose of God is not just ministry, there will be this reduction in this exodus. Those who should take the mountain of enterprise will stay there. Those who should take the mountain of governance will stay there. Those who should be in church but not in ministry will stay there. Because everything is kingdom. Everything is kingdom. There are fashion entrepreneurs here who have a coded assignment that Emisi and I cannot accomplish. But you are looking at Emisi and like, fire! Ha! Lord, call me. If you don't call me, I'll go call you. If you had an idea of the routine of a ministry gift, you'd be begging God that paraventure perhaps, you were having it in mind, I will stay here, Lord. Let me do my own here. But even when you are where you are, you know there's a different type of ministry to which you're in. And you would also execute warfare there. So number one was what? Spirituality is not an exclusive preserve of a certain people. And that those who are leaders in organized church as we currently know it may even miss out on the end time revival. Amen. Because knowledge can puff you up. What's the second thing we talked about? You must walk up your hunger for God. Stop coveting. The fluid expression of the anointing is a harvest of brokenness, consecration, and it's a harvest of intercession. Amen. So don't look at the flow and like it. Look at the Father's heart and long for it. The third thing is what? Purpose is not what we think it is. It's not as glamorous as we think it is. Number four, anything of tremendous kingdom significance that the Father is doing at the close of age cannot be accomplished by one man.
Yes.
Amen. Stop this silos mentality. Stop trying to have your name behind an assignment. You know why you're trying to have your name behind an assignment? Because you consider the assignment a social consideration. You are competing with people in oil and gas, in banking, in healthcare, so that you can also create your business card. Debola Dejikurumi, word of faith teacher. Prophetess, specializations in kingdom prophecy, corporate prophecy, angelic insight, revival anointing, oil, then oil fire brand dispensation. So when DDK, wow, you've been a blessing. Can I just call you? I'm like, give her my business card. When it comes to oil, that specialization in oil, you have to tell me 1 month before because I'm on Wole Agbaratini. That oil special. So if it's the oil one, you want, but if it's more other stuff like sanctification, revival, just tell me anytime. But oil, fire, brand, that one is debt. You know, somebody have to inside the deep place. You know, a debt haze position. Stop trying to have your name behind a thing. Let me tell you what. If currently you're longing for significance, you are in a good place. It's a proof that there's still a work the cross has not done in you. Yes. Amen. So you are in a good place. It's a quick move for you to immediately know. You know, this thing is so messed up for the human mind that it can also speak to your business. That God will tell you until I've healed you from trying to be better than your competitors in the space and your contemporaries in the space, I will not move you forward. So everybody will post something. There will be engagement. When you post, people will just be doing wakapas. Anointed wakapas. Because the Holy Ghost will close their eyes. They will not see. They must not see you. May I not be seen until I should be seen. In the name of Jesus. May I be hidden. May I not be considered a relevant player in my space. May I emerge on the scene like an anointed surprise. Yes. Because a man of the spirit, you can't tell where he's coming from or where he's going. You know why? It's the wind. Himself, he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I'm not quite having a plan for my future. Basically, I'm a planless, goalless somebody. You guys, mogo. He says, stay, must stay. No? I don't even know what basically I'm doing. You know? I couldn't determine it. I'm not able to put it together. I couldn't conjure it. Oh, I can't, you know, just the wind. You are there still trying to, she mess, need you, firebrand. You're like, come on, Jebed, I did say, take it, do it. God, we are going. The hashtag is not quite popular. May I not be known before my time? And may I not be known after my time? In that sense. May I not create a tabernacle where God has asked me to create a moving train? People receive a one-off instruction to host a worship vigil. They start a ministry. They start to do it monthly. The Lord is not there. He has done what he wanted to do. He has left. Then they create crisis for pastors. Can I meet with you, sir? I've been going through a lot. The Lord called me, but I've not been seeing moves in my ministry. It wasn't a ministry, it was an assignment. So, anything of kingdom significance must be birthed by literally an entire generation. It's not one person. It's bigger than us. Who do you really think you are? That you want to embody the fullness of what the Father is doing. So when you find comrades of your calling, siblings of a similar season, partners of purpose, allies of destiny, you lambano them. And you know, kingdom lambano is not personality type based. I don't say both of us are real strong personality, we can't roll. We can roll because it's the spirit that joined us on an equal line of divine frequency. In fact, we are rolling so much at Ulepo. He didn't get it. Amen. When I find my comrades, yes. As I found, I hang there. Yes. I stayed there. Amen. They don't have to be my tribe. They don't have to be my age. They don't have to fully understand me, but they understand my God. It's fine. So when we find spiritual fathers that have been anointed for our seasons, we don't look at the size of their church. We don't look at their Instagram followership. We follow them. We don't follow the fanciful. We follow the ordained. By the way, not every anointed person is anointed for you. It is called divine allocation. So we're not saying don't follow him or her because they are not anointed, but because they are not anointed for you. And until you discern clearly spiritual fatherhood, the status quo of the spirit is submit in your local assembly. Some people are not in any department, but they are writing emails every time. I want you to mentor me. You are not in a department.
You're seeking a mentor when you're not submitted in your local assembly. Let me tell you what. Even if the local assembly you are in is not the one ordained for you, God will not see a reason to move you to the one ordained for you, because you are still dead weight. Start where you are. Labor hard. Submit to your pastor. Submit to the will of God. And if there is clear heresy and error and doctrinal inconsistency, then leave. Don't wait for the prophet. Some things are called kingdom sense. Where Jesus is no longer called Lord, leave. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. But if you are there, oh, then be there. So find your comrades. It's one of the things we're praying about before we leave here today. That the Lord will send your comrades to you. That you will not walk alone. That your vision will not be hard for you to execute. That the purpose of God is easy to accomplish. Finally, brethren, holiness is the new cool. Let me tell you one of... thank you, Father. Glory to God. Let me tell you one of the undoings of ministry. The way we do it now. You see a person who is not walking in consecration. You see self, carnality scattered over them. But they've been in ministry 10 years. So it basically convinced you that you can carry your mess and lead the people of God with a message. No, sir. No, ma. That mixture is combustive. It can destroy destinies. It is destroying destinies. When there is carnality in us, Christ will be blood. God will be misrepresented. Amen. And none of us is a perfect image, but we must be on that journey to achieving the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's got to be our highest goal. So let's come back to it. In the name of Jesus, we're back to the scripture union days. In Jesus' name. Ah. Oh, amen. I tell you what. Throughout my university, I worshipped at Christ Apostolic Church Students Association, CACSA. I feel like that is still one of the greatest gifts that God handed to me as a young person. So what I've found now is the balance. I would be careful. Let me not sound like that. I haven't found any balance. I'm basically leaning desperately on God for that balance. But what I mean is this. You know how when you're on campus, some people were raining hot in jeans, and glory to God, that's a great thing. Earrings, makeup, they're just like, then you had some natural hair, no earring, long skates. You're just basically finding your Jesus, yeah? Back then, the likely temptation is for the babe who knows Christ to feel like the one who is unbabed in the pursuit of Christ is missing out. But she's not missing out. She's fixing like Mary what cannot be taken away from her. So when she enters the kitchen like Martha, Mary's still here. Yes. Amen. Yes. So the foundation is rock solid. Consecration, a lifestyle of prayer, holiness, submission to the move of the spirit, a prudent speech are the base. If she chooses to, if she now chooses to use a iron broad, you know, to broad it. There's something here. There's something here. Even if she's blushing this, that one can't be blushed away. But we are sadly, and this is to every ministry gift, you must return to mentoring people into discipleship. The mentorship we are doing today, it can't glorify God. What we do with mentorship today is we show people the mirror of ourselves and our own conviction, and we tell them to follow it. I'm not your template, Christ is. So we must return to all of us in a consecrated pursuit of discipleship in Christ Jesus. What we're doing today, sadly, is that there is no solid foundation, the type we received. So what we're handing the younger generation is pretty faces, fine sounding English, and a few hours in tongues. So they think they'll be okay. So why do we have the HOD of choir dating an unbeliever and asking you, the mentor, that, mommy, you know, it's been tough. It's been tough. She would even do klatu barayanda la bullshit. It's been really tough. You know, I really like Chris. And, you know, God's been talking to me about him. He's really nice. I know he's not born again. Because there's no base.
Yes.
There's no base. You know the base that we were handed? When you're looking at an unbeliever, it's market, now your market. Yes. The moment you see a person, even if they're going to church, but you just perceive Christ is not here, or Jalile, you are just waiting for the time to say, are you born again?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Unashamed! Yes. You're just looking at market because you are a kingdom marketer. You're just like, this is a market. The guy said, like, you're so cute, you're so beautiful. You're like, do you know why I'm so cute and so beautiful? It's a glory of God. Now, if you know my Jesus, are you born again? Let me tell you, you are holding his hand. I've held guy's hand by force on the bus stop. Say with me, Father Lord, say Jesus. The guy will be like, say it. Or else I'm not gisting with you again. Say, Jesus, be my personal again and again. I'm not kidding. That's the only memory one of my lecturers have of me. We met at a conference in Ghana. I said, you want to know ni faculty of law. Oh, the Baba, I by Jesus. And I know he was trying to ask you. I'm like, I'm not. But today, Sister Veronica, head of choir, anointed minstrel, she's dating Chris. One leg in, one leg out brother, who smells nice, looks nice, and works in a consulting firm. Works built to be burnt by fire. Let's rise to pray. Pray from your spirit, man.